Welcome to the Retail Transformation Show with me, Oliver Banks. This is your weekly podcast, delivering you the insight, ideas, and inspiration to successfully change and transform in our ever-evolving world of retail. Enjoy listening. As the retail industry faces increasing volumes of shrink and what seems to be an escalating shoplifting epidemic, it's becoming increasingly clear that traditional security measures don't seem to be sufficient to truly stem the tide of unknown stock loss. So let's explore how new options, new technologies, and new solutions can drive improved business performance. Well, a very warm welcome to you. This is the Retail Transformation Show, and I am your host, Oliver Banks. I'm a retail transformation specialist, a consultant and advisor, helping to understand, optimize, and evolve your operating model, your customer proposition, and the overall business. I'm also the author of Driving Retail Transformation, How to Navigate Disruption and Change. And I appreciate you joining me in for this episode. This is episode 291, number 291. Last week, we dived into the topic of shrink in retail, recognizing that shrink is not only about theft. Retail crime is absolutely a part of it, but it is a different topic. And shoplifting absolutely does contribute to shrink, but it is only one root cause. And so in this episode, we're exploring what you can do. How can you tackle this shrink challenge? And given that it is complex, given that there are so many different root causes, the first task is to analyze and understand what the shrink performance that you're currently not happy with, what's driving it? What does it tell you? Once you've done some analysis on your retail shrink challenge, really you need to think about segmenting. When you're thinking about solutions to shrink, it's definitely not one size fits all. Different retailers will experience different patterns and different challenges. Different stores within your estate or within a single retail estate will have different challenges, different types of shrink, and therefore will require different solutions and different approaches. For example, let's say we've got a retail estate and one store has got some poor waste management processes, which is driving shrink, whilst another store has a local theft problem, which is driving shrink. Both look the same. Poor shrink. But what solutions work on one of those stores will not work on the other. And even as you get into the detail, if one store has a particular problem with theft due to organized crime making audacious raids versus another store which also has a theft problem but through a high volume of opportunistic shoplifting, again, the symptoms are similar, but the solutions are very different. So you have to get into the detail. You have to really understand what is driving the shrink in any given location. And we spoke about that in the last episode. So do go and check out episode 290 if you've not already done so. And really, if you don't have the data to be able to get into this, and as I was saying last time, it is difficult because it is unknown. If we had the data, we would naturally know it, right? So you may need to think about how you can procure some additional data, how you can carry out some extra special investigations to help get a handle of the shrink challenge in your particular estate and across your particular stores. Now, of course, we need to be thinking locally and thinking about the unique challenge, and there may be some opportunities that drive universal benefit across the entire estate, and that's fantastic, right? You know, particularly if it's driving system improvements, or maybe it's a particular data automation that makes a trigger point happen, something like that. That's a great opportunity to improve the overall operating model. But you do need to be careful because different technical solutions and process solutions may have benefit for some stores, but it might have a net detrimental impact in terms of costs or productivity or customer experience to other stores. So shrink is absolutely a local challenge, and therefore you're going to want to find a local solution whilst being centrally supported, if that makes sense. And whilst we're also thinking local, it's also worthwhile engaging local connections. Maybe that's with the police, maybe that's with other retailers positioned nearby or in the same shopping district, or whether that's other business groups across the community. And really, store managers need to be empowered to have these conversations, to make connections and relationships across the local community to help tackle, like I say, this very local challenge, especially if it is more driven by theft. And of course, whilst we are thinking local, there is a huge opportunity to share success across the estate, because you may have two similar stores opposite sides of the country that might otherwise never talk, but actually they have very similar shrink challenges and could really benefit from learning and sharing their experiences with each other. So in terms of approaching shrink, we can't have any blanket solutions, as we've just spoken about. So we need to really understand what's going on. We need to identify, we need to analyze, and we need to root cause the particular challenge. What is creating the shrink at a store-by-store level? What are the patterns that are conflicting and compounding against each other, making the situation very complex and complicated? And we may need to carry out some supporting investigations, really to help us understand and segment, as I was saying before, segment what the shrink challenge is. Where are we best to focus our attention? And that could lead us down any number of different avenues. But one of the most pressing avenues right now is theft. And so for the rest of the episode, I wanted to really zone in on this particular root cause of shrink. And there are four stages that I wanted to run through with regard to the different solutions that you could employ. So the four stages are prevention. How do you prevent theft happening in the first place? Detection. How do you know when theft is actually happening? Confrontation. How do you actually stop the theft? And resolution. How do you fix everything after theft has occurred? Now, of course, there are no guaranteed silver bullets given all of the caveats about local challenges, etc. And we must also recognise that, unfortunately, whatever we do, even if we did manage to find a silver bullet, criminals find a way. Whatever the new solution is that is absolutely robust, someone somewhere will work out how to circumvent that particular solution. So I don't believe when it comes to anti-theft, there is such a thing as foolproof, especially when you consider all of the different types of theft that we were talking about last time. But one thing that is, I believe, a good opportunity is change. There is an opportunity to change the process, to keep evolving and make life difficult for criminals. I remember back in my engineering days, talking to some of the specialists that worked on overcoming counterfeit. And it was so fascinating because they revealed to me that whatever solutions were put in place, whatever high-tech new ideas, whatever new processes put in place, what they saw was that actually the level of criminal activity and counterfeiting would reduce down. But those sneaky criminals found a way to counter the counterfeit solution, if that makes sense. And so what happened was that the counterfeit team have to continually evolve. They have to continually add in new security measures or different protocols. And that is the best way of avoiding long-term criminal activity, right? Because in particular, organized crime can't quite plan because it continually changes. So consider how you can continually evolve, how you can keep criminals on their toes. But let's dive into our four elements here, and I'm going to highlight some of the more interesting and innovative approaches that I've seen. This is by no means an exhaustive list, but I hope gives you some food for thought. So let's think right from the top. Let's think about prevention. How can we deter criminals from shoplifting in the first place? Now, there's lots of options here. Signage, making CCTV cameras more obvious, perhaps sharing the camera feeds with customers, making physical security tags very obvious, you know, the likes of spider tags or security boxes, for example. We've seen a rise in the number of stores adding physical barriers, doors, onto the shelving units. So customers, any customers, cannot access stock, and there is a press for service button to have a colleague come and unlock the cabinets so the customer can do the shopping. Now, personally, I'm not a fan of this option. I think it really gets in the way of the honest customer's experience. Plus, it's a massive productivity drain on having to have a colleague come around the corner every single time. Oh, I haven't got the keys, or actually, I don't have permission for this particular cabinet, etc., etc. But there are also options, including slow dispensers, which again, can't work for every single product category, but it allows the customer to pick one product. For example, if it's a razor blade product in a grocery store, you can pick one product out, and then you have to wait for the next product to be presented and brought around to the shelf. May only be a few seconds, so if again, you are an honest customer wanting two packets for whatever reason, you can get two packets. If you are, however, looking to swipe multiples, you're going to be standing there for a long time waiting for the next one to come out, right? It adds that extra bit of friction for the shoplifter and less so for the customer. We touched on CCTV a couple of seconds ago, and one of the things I particularly like is actually having CCTV feeds trigger additional actions. So maybe that is a notification to a colleague that there is a customer in a high-risk aisle, let's say the alcohol aisle in a grocery store, and a colleague can come and attend. Or equally, it could trigger an anti-theft message that's announced over the Tannoy systems. Again, examples I've seen or heard are around explaining that there are security measures in place. Maybe it's a Tannoy announcement to encourage a colleague to come to that high-risk aisle. And this is really interesting because for an honest customer, you're not going to think anything of it because you wouldn't, right? For a dishonest customer that is perhaps considering that shoplifting opportunistic challenge, but for a more opportunistic shoplifter, or maybe even a more organized shoplifter, it's just going to get you to think twice. Think, is this the right decision that I, as the proverbial customer, standing in the aisle, want to make? Am I going to get caught on this time? That's the seed of doubt that we want to be implanting here. So I'm a fan of the CCTV triggered automatic warnings. And of course, a great prevention mechanism is around having more colleagues on the shop floor, which helps from a customer service and customer experience point of view. And it also means there are more watchful eyes for the would-be shoplifter to avoid. Moving on to the next stage, and we're thinking about detection here. So actually, at the point of someone stealing something, how do we detect it's happening? Well, firstly, we need to think about where is it happening? Is it someone pinching a product straight from the shelf and into a pocket, a concealed pouch, into a shopping bag? Or is it actually slightly more thought through and we're going for a hot swap or a misscan at a self-checkout, for example? Well, let's take the in-aisle challenge first. And again, thinking about CCTV, there are clever solutions by companies like Vision, who conduct real-time AI analysis of a person in a particular high-risk aisle. So you or the system can see an individual customer in the aisle and it can analyze the body movements and assess the probability of shoplifting happening. So if you see a customer reaching forward towards the shelf, picking a product off, and then it goes towards the body and an empty hand comes out, you know that there has been some form of shoplifting happening. Now, of course, it's not been properly stolen until the customer walks out, but it gives us an opportunity to confront the customer, which we'll get into the next stage. There's also all sorts of facial recognition, which is good for repeat offenders. And again, there is great technology development here, although there is also some important ethical decisions that need to go on as well in terms of sharing data, in terms of likelihood of actually, are we 100% sure that we are labeling this person as a shoplifter? Is that the right thing to do? And of course, there are vision systems that allow for checkout-free stores to occur that, again, can analyze what is happening, which particular products is a customer holding at that particular moment in time, so that, again, if a customer walks out with a product, even if it's in their pocket, it's still going to register that product to that customer. And then if we're thinking about the slightly more planned shoplifting, you know, maybe we are swapping products over so that when we scan them at a self-checkout, for example, it's registering. There again, there is more analysis of vision systems that are happening and being embedded into self-checkout units, or could even be deployed through CCTV analysis, as we were talking about before. And then you've got also solutions like RFID that is much harder to swap RFID labels over without damaging them, for example. So there are absolutely some technology solutions to help you detect when crime is happening. But knowing that crime is happening is only, of course, one part of the problem. We still need to actually stop the crime at this stage. And this is one of the most contentious elements of anti-shrink, or anti-theft, I should say. And it's one of the most dangerous elements as well, right? Because you don't quite know what's going to happen if you confront a customer. And so conflict resolution is a very important skill to be training your colleagues in store up on. And this conflict resolution takes multiple guises, right? We can talk about how to confront a customer in a friendly and supportive way. So just in case that customer is actually an honest customer and they're not actually shoplifting, we don't cause too much offence. We want to be able to arm our colleagues with the skill to de-escalate situations, especially if the person is getting more aggressive to the particular colleague. And we may even want to think about elements of self-defence. It's unlikely that we're going to be encouraging our colleagues to physically interact in the same way that, let's say, a police officer would. So we need to train our colleagues to know how to confront a customer, but also when to back off and when to protect themselves. And of course, we may also consider employing more traditional security guards that are more trained and more capable of physically confronting a customer. And in the most high-risk locations and the most dangerous locations, this is absolutely worthwhile, right? If nothing else, to protect your colleagues and the honest customers that are also in stores. Other solutions that are supporting people with confrontation are around body cameras, similar to, again, what police tend to wear, where a quick press of the button means that a particular interaction can be recorded visually, audibly, and it's, again, encouraging the other person to avoid doing anything stupid here. On a similar vein, communication devices like headsets can also be useful for communicating with colleagues to ask for help or calling the authorities and the police. And again, ensuring that a lone colleague is not alone. And then our final stage to countering the shrink challenge is around resolving it afterwards. Once the product has gone, once the shoplifter has gone, we of course need to be registering those crimes with the police. And whilst it can seem like a futile activity or just more admin and bureaucracy, we can't let retail crime go undocumented and then essentially it's invisible, right? So we must do our part in documenting and reporting crimes to the police. We may need to think about emotional support for colleagues and, of course, how to support other colleagues that have been impacted as well. And then finally, we've got to correct the stock records. Now, of course, we may or may not know if a particular shoplifting event has happened, as we were talking about in the previous episode, but we need to think about what's going to happen in our high shrink risk categories as well. Are we going to include some special and unique stock control processes to keep a closer eye on those shoplifting incidents? Do we need to trigger some count activities after perhaps some suspicious behavior? Especially if we've got some of the technology solutions like AI analysis of customer behavior in aisle. Once we've had a high probability incident, do we need to go and count up the particular shelf that that customer was picking from, for example? Consider if you trigger some additional availability routines. Maybe you're looking for gaps or low stock products on certain categories, shelves, mods, whatever that is. And again, that can be localized. It could be done to a specific store or on a specific day. It doesn't need to be built into the operating model, but it could be a flexible and localized aspect of the operating model. So there are loads of different solutions, loads of different approaches for shrink. And like I said at the beginning, we're only really scratching the surface here on some of the elements that I find more interesting and more innovative, I suppose. But really, whatever solution you are considering, make sure to ask, what is the point of this particular technology or this particular solution? is it really getting at the heart of the shrink challenge or the theft challenge? Or is it actually providing friction or negative elements towards the honest customers? Because we must remember that the majority of customers are honest. And we must also recognize that whatever approach we take, the shrink performance boost is only part of the benefit. We know that unknown stock loss leads to poor availability and therefore lost sales. We also know that poor stock record integrity or accuracy can upset the entire stock control processes, replenishment processes, and ultimately the entire supply chain. And that can lead to multiple consequences further down the road. So if we manage to stem shrink, we manage to impact positively all of those elements as well. Bonus, right? Plus, we also know that stores that have poor shrink can have detrimental impacts to the team and also to the customers, as it creates a negative vibe that sort of envelops the entire store, right? So when you're thinking about combating shrink, shrink is only the benefit. And as you're looking at more technical solutions, as you're looking at different local solutions, remember that. Consider, what is the net overall business case for any given change that you're making? And that's good practice at any stage, right? So I think we all recognize that shrink is a tough nut to crack, a hard and complex challenge. And theft and retail crime, again, is part of that challenge, which is equally tough and equally difficult. And given the complexity, it's easy to think that nothing can be done. But we are lucky that we've got lots of different technical solutions that are evolving, from vision systems and AI analysis through to RFID, to different recording devices and communication devices, and a greater appreciation of the challenges that are being faced by, in particular, frontline colleagues on a daily basis. So whilst there is no silver bullet, there are options that we can pursue. We need to think about shrink and theft in particular on a case-by-case basis, on a local store-level basis. And if we're making positive changes, we're keeping criminals on their toes, and we're encouraging people to think twice before stealing. We're deterring people from choosing our retail store as the shoplifting target, right? And then if we're collaborating across the industry, we're reporting crimes accordingly, suddenly we can collectively start to turn this around. I'd love to hear your thoughts. There's so much more that we could go into, of course, on this topic, and many different solutions as well that we've not touched on today. So feel free to reach out. Find me on LinkedIn, I'm Oliver Banks, and send me a message. I'd love to hear your thoughts. And it's also worthwhile heading over to the show notes page today at obandco.uk/291, where you can find some additional episodes to check out next if you've been inspired by this one. So thanks for tuning in. Please do hit the subscribe button if you're new. And if you're not, then please consider writing a short review or perhaps telling a colleague about the episode and the Retail Transformation Show in general. I appreciate your support as always. So thank you for listening, and I look forward to joining you in another episode very soon. Bye for now.